May 21st meeting of the Friends of the Carson City Library Board of Directors will now come to order. We'll have roll call.
We'll start with the president.
Falls Patton here.
Joanne Carpenter, secretary.
Sandy Ashroff, treasurer.
Connie Lateran, correspondent secretary.
Patty Ferguson, store manager.
Is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
Deanna Danforth, member, I guess.
Member at large.
Okay.
Sure.
Jolena Johnson, membership.
Phil Patton, budget.
Jackie Spalchek, member.
Member.
Bill Kroll, bylaw committee.
Jenny Maddox, member.
Okay.
Chelsea Spencer, member.
Okay, is that everybody? And Sina Lloyd is here as a guest.
And I'm the library director.
Library director. And Kathleen Allison.
I'm on your agenda.
So. I know you are. Okay. That is a quorum. So we can continue with this meeting. Is there any member of the public that would like to address the board on any item that's on the agenda this evening? All right. And we will move on to item 3, which is the approval of the April meeting minutes. Did everybody read those when you got them? Anybody see any thing that needed to be changed or corrected or added? If not, I will entertain a motion to accept them as presented.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, we will accept the minutes as you presented them. The acceptance of the April Treasurer's financial reports. I know you all got those in the first agenda I sent out. So did anybody have any questions on that report of Sandy or anything? No questions?
Move to approve.
We filed for audit.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? All right. The Browser's Corner Bookstore Manager's Report. Patty, do you have anything to add on to what was already in the...
Just that we are going to have a parking lot sale at the end of June. The date is not yet announced because we don't want to scare all of our customers away. But we're collecting brown paper shopping bags. So if any of you have any at home, if you want to drop them off, I would really appreciate it. And the store's doing fabulous. Donations are overwhelming.
Yeah.
And life is good.
Okay. Anybody have any questions of Patty?
I do.
What?
I want to know if you've ever tested that theory about having a book sale as drawing down from the regular course of business.
I knew I shouldn't have said that.
I asked you that once before. You know?
That's just something that was told to me and I kind of went with it. But it would be a good thing to do a survey on it, really would.
Well, how would you plan on doing it?
When you're doing it,
just watch. Once the sale is announced, we could kind of watch to see if there's a drop.
There's two chairs in our sales.
Are you good? Would you plan on doing that this time?
No.
Why not? What you might learn?
No. No, not at all.
The only reason I say that is because, you know, I was asked, are we going to have a book sale? You know, it would be nice if somebody had some advanced knowledge. I think. And I wouldn't be worried about the drop in sales.
We will publicize it mid-June. You can tell the customers that, yes, we do have a book sale plan, that the date has not been announced yet, but it will be coming soon. And I do have some flyers to start hanging up around the first of the month.
Is there some kind of website announcement?
There will be. We'll send out a blast.
Several.
And then it will be publicized on Facebook, Twitter, etc.
anything else? Okay, then let's move on to our library director's report from Sina.
I'll just stand over in the corner.
We can find a chair for you.
I'll stand by Sandy. They're all gonna give you something. Oh, that's why she's, yes.
Yeah, she's in quarantine, so you better get back over that way.
Okay, so.
I think the chairs were full.
The first thing that I have is, if you didn't hear, I think you might be living under a rock, that's okay. But the library has taken over operations of the Adams Hub for Innovation. We have a 3-year contract with the Hop and May Adams Foundation to do so, as well as a $200,000 per year donation to run the space, and then the lease is at no cost to the city. So that is the big thing that's going on right now at this moment. The only other item, and we had, there was a special board of supervisors, there was a board of supervisors meeting and a special library board of trustee meeting to do that on May 3rd. We have another meeting coming up this Thursday, and my performance review is on that, as well as reports from the different managers on activities at the library. And the last thing that I have is our kickoff to our summer learning challenge, which will be a Sunday this year. It will be Sunday, June 10th, from 12 to 3, at the library. We'll have littlest things there, so they will have a petting zoo. We will have, well, as long as the kids are respectful of the animals, of course, they will be able to pet the animals and interact with them. We will have painted rocks. This year's summer theme is Libraries Rock, and so we're going to take that in a couple different ways. We will have some music, so we'll do painted rocks. We'll have the animals there, and we will also have cotton candy and a La Enchilada food truck.
Mm-hmm. So what is that date again?
June 10th. Sunday, June 10th.
What's it mean?
Name of what?
Oh, of that event.
So our summer learning challenge kickoff.
Okay, I got the challenge part.
We used to call it our summer reading program, and we figure it's a little bit more about reading anymore. It's about learning, and so that gives us the opportunity to do some additional things with that. I think we also have bookworm yoga from 2 to 3 that day. It might be from 12 to 1 because they may have changed the time on us. But the last thing is Lunar Rocks. We will be getting moon rocks. We've been approved by NASA. We have to have deputies, and they have to be in a safe deposit box locked up. So, I mean, like, this is serious stuff.
Yeah.
But we'll have those towards the end of July, beginning of August. We'll have dates solidified, but we expect to do a program here at the library and also a program at the Boys and Girls Club. So that's pretty exciting. A gram of moon rock is like $50,000.
Oh, wow.
So that's why.
I'll take two.
With that, I'm done with my.
Oh.
Unless there's questions.
You got a good vacation.
Okay, thank you. Always something new and exciting going on at the library. Budget chairman report, information only.
Okay, things are going well. The bookstore itself is almost $1,200 ahead in revenue and $200 favorable in expense. The only big negative right now is supplies, but we just purchased bags and labels that we use in the back here, and I suspect that will be made up later. And the Friends, in addition to that, Friends expense is $556 ahead of plan, income's $371, and the only major negative is in membership year to date, but we've made up a lot of that in April, and as I understand in May, we'll probably make up the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, moving right along, item number 8 is committee reports, and those were all provided in your packet except the historian report, and she is not here tonight to give it orally either. And I don't believe I had Joanne's publicity report when I sent that out, so if anybody's truly interested in that, you can pick it up right here. So unless anybody has questions from committee chairman, we can move on to the next item, which is item 9. And this is a report from the executive committee from Joe Spencer.
So we've gone out and done our RFP process, given our new status following NRS, that we're more of a foundation now than a friends. We felt, as the executive board, that it was necessary to do a formal RFP process to for website and social media services and anything else we felt was necessary. The executive board put together that RFP over a couple week period to figure out all the services that we wanted, following a meeting that we had saying that we were going to do this. I sent the RFP out to about 10 or 12 different firms in the Carson and Reno area with a 30-day deadline to give us those responses. I gave them a rough startup budget as well as a rough annual budget so that they could have a rough idea on how much to even bid for. We received 3 of those back. Following this process, I felt that it was important for me to remove myself, as I was going to be the one reviewing all the RFPs that came in, censoring them and scrubbing them for any of the pertinent information, and send them out to an RFP committee that consisted of the 3 other executive board members, as well as our bookstore manager, Patty Ferguson, whose individuals had about a week or so to review those RFPs, and then we all came together and met. The ranking process occurred as just ranking those individuals 1, 2, and 3 for just their services and skills. Once we established that ranking, I then presented the financial side of it as to how much each RFP was for with their various services. The winning bid was from Momentum, Kat, who's here in the back. And I've asked Kat to be here today to ask or present or anything else that she may have. She's worked with us before in the past, but she's here to answer any questions that you may have as a result of this process or what we have looking forward. So if you have any questions for Kat, she's here for answers.
Kat, come up here so everybody can see you.
Smile away, Kat.
For anybody who doesn't know me.
Smile pretty.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything to present. I don't have any, but I'm happy to answer questions.
Anybody have any questions for her? I have met with Kat at least once already. She's already done some stuff for me because we had things that were coming up on deadline before we could get a formal contract signed. So she has completed the movie ad that will run in June. And as a part of that, we've all pretty much got the information together for the book, the author that's coming in June too. We just kind of pull it out and print it out in poster form. So, and then we will be getting together. She and I think Joanne and Patty and I will get together and start talking about information that we want to get to her and in what timely manner we want to get it. And I had given her some libraries that the original strategic plan committee had brought up when we talked about when this whole we need a new website came to being, because there were several members of that committee who had said, oh wow, I went and looked at this library website and that library website and we really need a new one.
So we'll give you you essentially 3 templates based on the examples that we know, those of you that looked at them, that what you liked. We'll give you a few templates to look at, mm-hmm. to help guide you towards which one you want. And then as soon as we know that, it'll be relatively quick.
Okay.
As in a few weeks, once we know which one you're after.
So you think we can be up and running probably by...
I'm going to go on vacation in July. Uh-huh. It will be done in early June is my goal. Not early June, by the end of June,
You want
sorry.
It done before you go on vacation,
yes,
is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Okay. That sounds good.
And that should not be any problem at all.
Okay. We would like, just for the sake of people agreeing with us, that the board confirm or consent to the selection that the executive committee made. So is there anybody who says we shouldn't follow through with this?
I just have a question. You're going to do the new website, is that?
We will.
And all publicity and stuff?
Right now, you have a page on the library site. You don't have your own website. So we will create a new one from scratch that doesn't exist, but we've created a lot of your other collateral. So that information exists. We just have to organize it, create the site, and then we will take over control of, not control, let's rephrase that. We'll take over the content on your social media feeds and complement what you're already doing, what Joanne's doing, right?
Right.
Are you doing it?
Yeah.
And so Jenna, who many of you remember when she interned with the library a couple years ago, I hired her a year and a half ago, and she does social media and website updates for four of our other clients on a daily basis. So she'll be adding yours. Mm-hmm. And it will be three unique posts each week on three different platforms. So you'll have a Facebook presence, Twitter presence, and Instagram presence. So you're basically hitting all your different groups. Mm-hmm. Instagram tends to be your younger audience. Facebook tends to be your families, your moms, your grandmas who want to keep track of the kids. And Twitter tends to be more of your business, like state workers, who are a key to your audience, right? Mm-hmm. So we will make those unique, so three posts on three platforms each week. And it will be organized based on the topics and the sort of categories of the things that are important to the organization. It'll be planned. It won't just be, oh crap, what are we going to talk about today, right? It's going to be, okay, we have events coming up, we have fundraisers, we have membership drives, we have different things. It's specific to categories of information that are important to the organization. So it will be planned out, and then we can track it with how those, how they're seen, the visibility, the success on different posts. We will track that, and then that helps us predict and change our behavior to make it more successful for you.
Well, thank you. Now, is this a contract for a year, or?
The thing we talked about was through the end of the calendar year.
Okay.
Because of where you are budget-wise and because this is a new thing, we were going to get this going. We can show you what's happening, and then come January 1, we make adjustments if necessary, or we say this is working, whatever, mm-hmm. from either side.
Okay. Thank
so,
you.
Yes, sir.
When you put up another website, can you get rid of the old ones?
Yes.
It's just a page on the library website, so that would come down.
Well, maybe it, I don't know that. The reason I was asking Patty earlier about the book sale, I went online there, and this is how I do it. I went online to look up Friends of the Library Browser's book sale structure. And I thought that the whole thing was a mess. I mean, okay. Seriously, just
Boy,
a disaster.
We're going to try and make it easier from your side. From the user side, that's the whole key, is to make it easy for people to see what's happening.
Well, somehow,
how to participate.
Somehow what, I mean, it's like, it's just been layered over the years, and you know, trying to carve back down and going, isn't there some way of starting afresh and putting this thing out?
Yes.
Rather than having to go through the library and
well, 22 different
points.
Well, and that's part of the point of taking over it, is
right.
Because the library doesn't have staff to manage your page, right? They don't
I don't
have,
know about that. I mean, they've been doing it, or somebody's been doing it.
Well, we're going to take control of it so that it's done best for you guys and not at... Yes, you don't have to look through all of that. We're not moving that over. It will all start fresh. And then we will manage it, and Jenna will keep a track of it, so you don't have to go through
right.
16 old events to find out what's happening this week.
And there will be a link from the library's website to
yes.
our new website.
And both going both directions.
So people checking out the website.
That seems to be it. To me, if you go to the library, in order to find browsers, you have to go through, you know, I'm not that computer literate, but, you know, it's a bad mess to be intertied with the library. There must be a reason for that.
Well, you'll be able to go directly to the library website.
Yes.
Without one. But if you happen to be on the library's website, you'll be
well,
able to go.
I think under the terms of the, I mean, under the format of search engines,
so
is that
the
they look up
between one and two?
How whatever term that comes along. So if you get into the library structure, hard to get over to browsers.
Well, no, we will delete what is there, and we will re-index it so search engines are not grabbing it.
Good.
So
I think we'll be okay.
It should, and Kat did tell me that she would be more than willing to come and give us a little seminar or talk or whatever on how to be a super Facebook fan, social media fan.
There's a lot of people, and this is something for the larger group, not just the little board members, but there's a lot of things that as board members or as members of Friends that you can do to help raise the visibility of it if you're on any social media platform. If you're on Instagram, if you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, how you share and how you interact with those things that the organization puts out is what gets it seen by other people.
Right.
You might say, okay, I know this, I don't have to acknowledge it, but it's how it helps raise the visibility of it so other people see it. So we will talk about that so that you are all, so you become super fans.
Right. That's what
in a
good way.
In a digital way.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
thank you.
Okay?
Yeah.
So the next step is just to structure what the site's going to look like based on the categories of information that you prioritize as a group, and then we're rolling.
Okay.
So, thank you. We're happy to be here.
Sounds good.
I just have one more question, Phyllis, to what Joe said. If I misunderstood, now are we still going to be friends with the library, or are we going to be...
We're still the Friends, but we can function a little more like a foundation now because we are the only supporting organization right now.
This past legislative session, they established new NRS that affected small Friends organizations such like this that basically said you're no longer a small Friends organization. You're acting like a foundation once you get past certain thresholds. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, the Friends have been past those certain thresholds for forever.
Is it like member or money?
Both. It's a little bit of everything.
Okay.
So as a result of that, that's the reason why we're having to follow these new NRSs and procedures.
Okay.
That's why our meetings are now affected by the open meeting law. That's why we have all these sorts of hoops that we're jumping through now.
Okay. I'm just curious, but we're still going to be more
or less...
Well,
we'll be known as the Friends
of
the Library. Yes. Okay. So... Welcome aboard, Pat.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
All right. I got no negative responses from making this. Yes. Okay. Let's move on to the bylaws. You were all asked to bring your bylaws. The colored ones, I'm assuming you have all read through them.
Oh, sure.
Found any?
Thank you.
Guys. Any other change? Did anybody find any other changes that needed to be made? Typos, or sometimes when I went from, I'm taking this out and we're adding this, did it sound funny when you read it? Kind of thing. If not, we can move through on this one really quickly and just take a vote to accept the changes as is or not. Is there a motion?
Move to adopt.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded that we adopt all of the new changes in the bylaws as written in green in the copy that you now have. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All right. So now these will all be printed up again in black and white with no red or green. The red ones will disappear altogether and the green will become black. And then there will be enough copies printed for everybody to have on hand. Okay. The Financial Planning Committee. This is a committee that's been meeting since last March or April, I think, about once or twice a month for a while, and then we petered down to once a month, and then we kind of took a hiatus over the holidays, and we got back together. And you will find under the account protection, which I really should have put on the front of the sample of investment policy, you should each have... Both all have those copies. If you don't, there's copies up here in the front. The committee met on May 7th. We had a rather lively discussion, and Mr. Dooley from Edward Jones was there for the second time for this committee to talk to and ask questions of. We had left it before that we kind of liked what he was proposing. Some of the other items we thought were a little bigger than what we were prepared to get into. Some of them were on other topics, but may pertain to what we do later on. And so we had information from John Dooley and from the financial advisor from Wells Fargo, and I've drawn a blank on what her name was. I met both of them more than once. I brought information to the committee from both of them. I met with them both again after the last committee meeting, and I decided, based on all those meetings and the information that I was being given, that I would no longer deal with the lady from Wells Fargo. I felt that Mr. Dooley was much more
amenable.
He was very friendly. He was very, very aware of what we are doing or trying to do in this community. He is a member of this community. He has kids who swim over at the community center all the time. They have kids who come in here and shop, the kids that use the library. And he really knew what we were trying to do. So I concentrated on him for coming back for this last meeting. I gave him Sandy's financial position paper two or three days before that meeting, so he would have more of an idea of how to present a possible solution. And so that's where we were at that meeting. We did have three members of that committee that called me on that very day and said they couldn't make it, so our committee was a little short. And so we elected not to take a vote on this at that meeting, but to bring his position directly to this board and then make the decision right here. I will back up a little bit and tell you before that, in the April meeting, when Sandy asked if she could move the $50,000 out of the checking account because she had a lot more in there than she needed, and we told her CDs were fine, go out and find the best rate you can, which she did.
And nobody liked them.
And I told her, can you don't do anything on that yet till I get back, because I was on vacation. I get back from vacation because I already have a meeting with John Dooley, and I'll bet he can get us better rates than the banks right here can get. So I went to him and got a lot better rates than banks here can give. And so I sent that out to everybody again, so everybody said to go with it. So then we had trouble getting the three of us together to sign the papers and write the check. So we are doing that tonight. The check will be delivered tomorrow, and the $50,000 will be used to purchase five $10,000 CDs that will be laddered over a period of 1 to 9 months or so. You know, just continually roll them over. And a month or so, 2 months for sure, we'll be able to see the difference and how the rates are coming out. So that part of it is not a part of this discussion tonight, because that's already done. It will be based on this one that says sample investment, or if you want the simplified version, it's in the one that says account protection on the front. That's just showing you that they do have insurance, federal insurance. It's not against losing money if the markets go bad, but it is against them claiming bankruptcy or fraud from any of their advisors and stuff like that. You can get your money back. I put in the first page of the Constitution so you could all see that down towards the bottom of the page, Article 10 says funds. And this is hopefully answers the question people have about investing in stocks. It says, all funds of this organization shall be deposited in a duly recognized and insured financial institution or institutions. That means businesses like banks, savings and loans, credit unions, investment brokers, that sort of thing. That does not mean treasury bills, stock certificates, and stuff like that. So just wanted to make sure everybody understood that. Okay. Is there anybody who questions that? All right. So as you can see, the next page tells you about where our finances are right now. And you can subtract the $50,000 from the Wells Fargo bank because that's going to Edward Jones in the morning. So that part will be taken care of. So now, starting below the solid line there is what we're talking about now. The CD funds will be what we consider a short-term reserve fund. As you look at the next page where there's pictures of little buckets, this simplifies this very complicated thing here. His proposal was made up of an operating budget, a short-term reserve fund, and a long-term reserve fund, and then endowments, which we can set up, and that brings into account the foundation part of what we can do. The operating budget is not a part of an Edward Jones account. That is our Wells Fargo checking account. That's where the money gets deposited from the square every day. That's where Sandy pays the bills from. That is totally under her control.
And the line item will be Edward Jones.
Yeah.
It's not going to have any special little name.
Right.
It'll just be called Edward Jones.
Right. So the $50,000 in CDs is part of what is considered a short-term reserve fund. This is where we've got the extra money that we don't need in the checking account, but we might need it sooner than 5 years from now, which is what a long-term reserve fund would be. So it would be there in an emergency. If there was something that came up that we really wanted to take advantage of and we didn't have it budgeted, we could say, but we have the money, it's right here, and we could take it out and take care of that. Or if we had an unexpected horrendous expense, like all of our equipment failed at the same time due to a power surge or something like that, and we had to go out and buy new square systems and new printers and all that stuff, we could do that. We could say, oops, we're a little short in the checking account, but we still have this right there, and we could get it right out. And the third bucket, this is showing then that this funds can roll from, it shows up rolling downhill all the time, but it can also roll uphill anytime that we need it to do that. So if we were to set a cap on the short-term reserve fund, say, like, would there ever be a time when we would need more than $50,000 in an emergency fund? Then we say, okay, no, $50,000 is enough. And every time it builds up to more than that, we could roll that over into our long-term savings. So the long-term savings, we decide how long we want that to be. Say, the part that we're thinking about putting in this now is the $50,000 that we have in U.S. Bank, and that is made up of mostly the restricted building funds. There's about $9,000 in there above that, I think, but it's basically the restricted funds. We can't touch it and do anything with it anyhow, so it might as well be sitting someplace where it's earning a little money. So we can say we won't touch that for 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, but there's nothing to say that if something changes, like this community finally found a heart and said, oh, let's build a new library. You know, we could shorten that term and get the money out. It's also one where if you know you're saving for something in particular that you're going to need to pay for in 3 years, you can let them know, say, a year in advance, and they can start watching the ebbs and flows of the account. And when it looks like it's kind of reached a steady, they can take it out and put it in a money market fund and hold it for you till you're ready to spend it, so you don't, you might lose a sudden spike up, but you won't hit a sudden spike down because they will have protected it for you. This is made up of investments that are diversified. He told me the other day that in our situation, he knows that we're very conservative. We have people who are a little concerned about investing other people's money in the stock market. So he said, and he says, this is not the only nonprofit that I work with, so I know that general feeling. But if you really want to make your money grow, you do have to invest in a little something besides just a flat 5% on a CD for 2 years or whatever. So he said you'll get more diversification if you do mutual funds, especially when you're dealing with amounts of money like ours and are huge in relationship to a lot of other investors, than if you try to buy individual stocks or treasury bills or things like that. So the minimum that they suggest on that is a 30%, and on $50,000, that's $15,000. That's not a huge amount, but it will give us some growth. On the last page, the three little boxes across the bottom kind of tell you the difference. The first one is just take your $50,000 and buy a $50,000 bond and hold it for a year. You're going to have a very flat line. Okay. The second one is very, very faint because I didn't realize I wasn't getting it in very good. But that is a very slight rise, and that is doing the same thing. You're still investing the $50,000 in the CDs, but we're doing it in a laddered effect so that you are, in reality, in this rising interest rate market, you are catching the new interest rates every time they raise them because you've got a CD that's rolling over and needs to be reinvested. So you're reinvesting every CD at a slightly higher rate, or you could be if you get your maturity dates just right. So it goes up just a little bit. The third graph is if you're investing in the fund, this will be, like I said, 30% would be in equities. This would be instruments that are not insured by the federal government. But the other 70% would be made up of those federally insured money markets, T-bills, CDs, whatever, and some bond measures and other government-issued things that are not federally secured. So 70% of it is going to be much more secure than the 30%. And you'll get the squiggly little thing where you will get the ups and downs, and hopefully it will continue to be. And the last page, is that on this one? Yes. The last page is just a hypothetical one that he printed out for me. This was showing three funds that you could invest. If you can see them or not, the flat kind of grayish blue line or across line 50 is what you get if you put your $50,000 into a CD and you just leave it sit there for the year or however long you buy the CD for. The yellowish green line is a bond fund, so it does fairly well. The blue line is a balanced fund, like I was telling you, that has stocks and equities and the other fixed income and everything. This is a previous 10-year graph. This shows that these funds were invested in April of 2008, right when the bottom fell out of the market. And this is where they're at in April of 2018. So you can see that they did take quite a dip right at the very beginning, but in a couple of years they were both above the flat line and continued to go up. So that's kind of where we're at. He is more than willing to take over advising and managing, and I asked him and he says, no, I do not manage your funds individually. They depend on me to advise you as to the funds that I think are the best for what your goals are. And then the management at Edward Jones picks, takes the funds and they manage and they do watch for, you know, funds that aren't performing like they're supposed to be, and they will take the money out of that one and put it into another one. It's not something that you need to watch every day and go, oh my God, I better get my money out, because you're not going to need it for 5 years. You let it sit there and it'll come back. So that is my simplified version of what you're going to get if you take this home and read this whole thing, and I hope you do, because it's very interesting. So that is the subject that we're talking about here in item 11. I kind of told you what 11A was. 11B is, we came here and here is the proposal, and I now want discussion and any possible vote that the board wants to make. Jenny?
I want to know, like, over the 5-year period or whatever it is you get, if they move it from one fund to another, sometimes they charge you to move that around. So how is that going to work?
I've not gotten specific charges on moves like that, but I don't think they move them all that often. They're just watching them so that they can let us know that, hey, we don't think this fund is performing the way they said they were going to, and we would like your permission to move, and then we can find out what that's going to cost us. Mm-hmm. I know the rates are fairly low. I think most of them, especially in the mutual funds, are like 1%, 1.5%.
Per annum?
Like that. Yeah. Well, per, you know, the
per transaction.
Per transaction. Mm-hmm. And it would depend on just how much they had in that exact fund, not the whole thing.
Question too.
Yeah.
So are you just talking, in this particular thing, $15,000, and the others 30 or whatever out of the 50 or 35 is going to be insured?
It can all be insured if you want to be no risk at all. If you want to be a little riskier, part of it.
I mean, just the other 30,000. So you're going to do 15 in this, and then part of the other 30,000 in a risk thing, or?
No, well,
I misunderstood you. I thought that 15,000 was going to go into like a mutual fund, and then what about the other of the 50,000?
That would probably be more in fixed income and insured incomes. Not all fixed income things are federally insured, but most of them are.
Okay.
So it would be pretty much of insured things. And even the bond, like this American bond thing that was on the back here, that one had a lot of federally insured mortgages in it and stuff like that. So the whole $15,000 is not going to be at risk either. It just kind of depends on wealth. He knows we're not risk takers.
Okay.
But he knows we also need to invest so that we're making a little bit of income on it besides interest rates. And he also suggested that a lot of any stocks you get into would be low volatility, which means there are not the wild picks that go up and down at the whim of the stock market every day. They're the slow and steady guys that have been paying dividends for decades and things like that.
Dividends.
Yes.
Dividend bearing stocks also.
Yes.
But they're not necessarily insured.
Right.
Correct?
Right. So you would get some of you, if something did happen and you lost some money on, you would still be getting dividends.
You would still get it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So those are the types of things that were suggested.
Is there a management fee associated with
No.
There's no management fee at all?
There may be a slight management fee from Edward Jones. He is waiving his management fee.
What?
So, and there is no management fee on the CD part that we're doing tomorrow at all.
So, in other words, you're saying that Edward Jones will have $100,000 total? Okay. Mm-hmm. And we will keep like
50,000. Not
100. No. If we do this part, they will have a total of 100,000, and you will have 20 to 30 in the checking account.
Oh, I see. Okay. Down the road. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other reason for I get totally confusing here for you. The other reason for moving that $50,000 into the long-term fund is that where the restricted funds is, that is in the U.S. bank account right now. And I'm in the process of setting up this gifting book. I don't know how many of you have read this or looked at it. On Square. This goes with it, and I don't have enough of those, so I need to get more of those. And they told me this is for donations only. They told me it had to be completely separate from the one we're using here at the store. So I set it up using that U.S. bank account. So in order to keep all of that money separate, we need to take what we have in it right now and put it someplace else. So that's another reason for that. And then this.
When does that go into effect?
It will be on the new website, so it will be going into effect by July 1st.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Better get busy.
Yeah. And this will be part of our, sort of like our foundation part of our what we're doing. These are donations that will be made by the public that will be strictly for things that the library, that they would like to see the library have. We're not going to do anything with the money, only take the online payments, and when they add up to whatever the people wanted to purchase, we send them to the library, and that's it. We don't have to keep track of them. We don't have to do anything.
Is that like going to the gift fund, the library gift fund? Is that what that's going to be?
It probably will go there for a short time when we, let's say for instance, on these things, there's like $1,000. Or let's say the public computer replacement match. Say somebody wanted to replace just one computer, we would say we've got $1,000 now. You know, if you want to wait till you get $5,000 and go buy five computers all at once, or do you want just to buy one, we can send you the $1,000. This person's name goes on it, and when you get your invoice.
Similar to what we did with the gift fund, right?
Yes.
Everything goes in the gift fund.
Everything goes there. And then they can use that for whatever.
So in these long-term funds, will that be the stuff that has been designated to just gifted for something?
Yeah.
That's going to be the long-term.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it will be for the building fund that we already have designated, but we can put other stuff in there. Just say maybe there's something that we want to save up for ourselves, or
okay,
something else that we want to give the library. Yeah. And we can give it a time frame and then say, okay, let's save up for 3 years and see if we can get enough to replace all of these wooden bookshelves and make them all matching, you know, whatever. And then we get the amount of money that we need and we take it out of here and go buy our shelving.
It's not necessarily anything that someone has donated, like, you know, if they died and they donated a certain amount to go to specifically.
Oh, yes, that dedicated fund.
That would be in an endowment fund. That would be the very last fund, the endowment funds. Those are your legacy building and that sort of thing.
But that's not the $50,000 you're talking about.
No, we don't have anything for that right now.
Okay.
So, is there any discussion, any more questions? Do you think it's a good thing, a bad thing, or why are we trying to do this?
I think it's a good thing to be able to get a little extra money, especially if we're going to leave it there for 3 or 5 years, because right now the stock market's extremely high, so it could dip at any time, and hopefully, traditionally, it will come back.
Right.
By the time we need the money.
Right. And these funds, we can take our money out of them anytime we want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not just at certain times or
No charge.
Yeah. Even if we decide we've got more money than we need in the short-term fund, say like just from the interest from the CDs, if she's finding she's running a little short on the operating fund, they can send a check back to our checking account instead of hanging on to it or putting into the long-term fund.
And also, like in the dents, you could probably, in that particular long-term fund, if you were gonna get a dividend, you could get that, or you could reinvest it.
Or you could reinvest it, yes.
Well, you can't take it.
You can take your dividend.
Sure you can.
That's part of the corpus of the.
I mean, that's the money you're trying to grow. You can reinvest it. If there's something should happen that you need that money, you can take the dividend.
That's right, you can take it out, yeah.
Monthly, quarterly, however.
Doesn't that belong to the dedicated funds?
No.
Not all of it, no.
How do you know that?
It's extra income.
Right.
But that's how you grow dedicated funds.
Right, yeah, but that would be if we have that dedicated funds. Those funds are not dedicated yet. The $50,000 is not dedicated.
It's restricted.
The $50,000 we're talking about right now is not dedicated.
Restricted?
Not yet, no.
Are we talking about?
That's what we're talking about, Sandy. We're talking about the $50,000 that's in the US Bank.
In the US Bank, okay, we're back to US Bank. Okay, US Bank, those are dedicated funds, yes.
If we take those and reinvest them.
Yes, but you can take the dividends and, or reinvest them.
Or reinvest them.
Where does it say you can take the dividends?
Because it's considered an ordinary income.
It's income.
The $50,000 is dedicated, not the additional.
Not the dividends.
Not the monies earned on that $50,000.
Right, unless we want it to be.
So it's income, and at the end of the year, you can put it back in there. You can put it under those funds, or you can take it out. It's income. The $50,000 is the dedicated amount. That's the amount that the lady gave us that said, this money specifically is for this, 50 grand, or whatever it was.
Right.
That's dedicated. Any money's interest earned on that is income. It's over and above that.
Right. Your principal amounts are what you actually put in to start the account.
Yeah.
Anything it earns is extra.
The check said, when she gave us the check, this is dedicated to the new library.
That's
Thank
right.
you very much. Okay, that was that dollar amount. If we earn interest on that dollar amount, thank you very much.
What if the interest equals the inflation on that?
Oh, I have no idea.
You know. Well, that's the point.
Well, and then it's income.
The point of it is, when you take income off of an investment that's a trusted investment,
that
you're protecting the principal. You're not
and the income is not part of the principal. The principal is that original dollar amount.
I don't believe that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think that's entirely wrong. Give me an opinion on that.
Okay. That's my opinion. It is.
Yeah, I know. It's. I don't think it's at all proper.
Okay. Well, you're entitled to your opinion.
So you think it should be protected per inflation, at least?
What happens is that if I give you $50,000,
10 years from now,
10 years from now, it's meaningless because we've stripped the income off of it.
Well,
then that's what's the point of it?
It doesn't have the same value as it had at
the right. No purchasing power.
Right.
But you would not be doing that all the time, Bill. That would defeat the purpose of what you're doing. You would normally reinvest interest or dividends or whatever. But at third, you can. If you have a shortage someplace that you need to cover, you can take out 1 month, quarter, whatever, dividend or interest.
How do you know that?
Because I was told that.
By who?
By Mr. Dooley.
All right, tell Dooley to give us a legal opinion that that's okay to do.
That.
I mean, seriously. I mean, no. You know, one of the reasons why we have insurance on this board is for decisions like that,
right,
that turn sideways. I'm very cautious about that kind of movement. I mean, if you know, if people dedicate funds to you and you accept them as dedicated, then they're trust funds.
Right.
Trust funds grow. That doesn't mean you can strip them.
Well, these are not trust funds. These are
dedicated
funds.
Well, they are in a sense.
Not quite the same thing.
Well, close enough.
Well, yeah, they are close enough.
Yeah,
and like this, we're not stripping them because we would not do that unless it was absolutely necessary. And
well,
I can't see with a short-term fund that it would ever be necessary for us to do that in the long term.
Or with the income off this place. Because that's also in play, right? In other words, we have income from this joint.
Right. That's
okay.
In the checking account. And has nothing to do with this.
But over and above, you've got $50,000 you're tying up in money in
CDs.
You got $50,000 you want to put into this investment fund.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you need first, I think, should come out of the earnings from browsers.
It will.
Okay, well, that's all I'm saying.
We'll pay all of our bills out of that. We will pay the percentage of profit to the library every year out of that.
Well,
this
that's
is
what
all
I'm looking,
extra
what
stuff.
What I'm looking at is how we allocate the profit, okay? Because mm-hmm. I think that internally in the structure that the browsers or the friends generally, however they make money, mm-hmm. should pay for the for themselves.
They do.
You shouldn't have to go to your savings. You shouldn't
right.
have to go to your trust funds. Shouldn't have to go into that because
right.
we're making $3,500 a month.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
okay.
That doesn't all go to the library.
No.
Unless that's your plan. My plan is that first things come out of there is that the browsers get
right.
what the friends need, the friends get, and
right.
the library can take the rest.
Right.
Okay.
That's
what we're doing.
That's the way it's set up.
That's what we're doing.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
Anybody else have any questions or ideas or opinions? And I think even though we may make a decision here today, I think this should go to the entire membership before we do anything on that. And we've got two of you here tonight. Do you think the whole membership should have a chance to vote on this as well?
So are you asking to wait till January to do this? If would you call a special meeting? How would you do that?
Well, that was another question I would have is can we do it by a mail-in vote or special meeting? I mean, you know, waiting to the annual meeting, we get how many members that are not a part of the organization
right.
here
right.
that show up, you know?
How many votes would you need? How many members do we have? Would you need like a quorum or, I mean, because how many people are actually going to take the time, I think, to vote?
Well, that is my concern. And so far, everything we've done has just been a quorum of a number of people that are actually at the annual meeting, which is not very many when mm-hmm. it's compared to the entire mm-hmm. membership. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking the very least we could do is have a mail-in vote.
Is there anything in the Constitution or bylaws that says it has to go to the membership? Or is this the membership has approved the board? Isn't that why boards are created?
Mm-hmm. I think most of them are, but let me just see here.
When it talks about the money.
Mm-hmm. Funds. Really does not mention those kinds of things in the bylaws. It just mentions mainly the budget committee meeting 2 months ahead of time and coming up with a budget, and then you're going to, the new thing is to change the calculation to the net profit for the year as to what we give the library, and it doesn't say anything about any other votes. And I only brought the first page of the Constitution tonight, so I don't know.
I'm kind of curious, Phyllis, if the $50,000 that will be in the long-term thing, that was someone donated $50,000 to the library.
40,
dedicated,
40 plus. Yeah.
Dedicated
yeah.
for a new
building.
Library.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A new building.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anywhere, I just was kind of curious that they or when they gave this, what they expected to just hold it in a savings account? Is there anything that says that we can, you
no.
know, do
the
this?
The money was donated for a specific
it
purpose.
It was donated for the new building. It
for
was
the
donated
building.
At the time we were
yeah.
working on
mm-hmm.
the last bond issue. And she has since passed away.
Mm-hmm.
I think the wording on this account maybe could be to designated for a larger or new building or expanded building or something like that, in case there was some way they wanted to remodel where they're already at, as opposed to building a big shiny new building someplace. I don't think there would be a problem with that. And other than a couple of small fundraisers that we had around that same time, that's the only place that money came from, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
I think there were two donors, two major donors, mm-hmm. or three.
Three. There was her, there was her sister, and there was my family for yeah. our 50th anniversary.
Okay, so three yeah. donors.
Right.
Specifically said for the new building. So therefore, it's set aside as a line item. This is for the new building. Mm-hmm. You can't touch it.
So I assume that if we did that and put that in there, like Bill was saying, that particular income would probably have to stay there for a new building.
Until we got released from the people.
Or an expanded right. building.
Yeah. Or okay, and then yeah. could that money go towards adding on to the library, remodeling the library, mm-hmm. or that kind of a thing? It could yeah. go for that.
I think legally you need, we need to get the permission from the donors to take it out of that category and expand on it, don't we?
I'm just wondering.
I think yeah. so.
Well,
did you ask the DA or anything about that?
No, I have not asked, because I've dealt with this family.
Okay.
Both of the donors are deceased, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the rest of the family that I know of, we haven't had a terrible time getting hold of them. They don't care. She gave that money, and they were okay with it when she gave it, and they've probably forgotten about it. The other money was given to Phil and I for our 50th wedding anniversary, and I say it could be spent on an expanded building.
Okay, I'm just kind of watching out
yeah.
the board.
Right.
To make sure
right.
that they're making, you know, doing what is supposed
I can try
to
the
public
niece,
funds or whatever.
The niece is the only one that I still have a phone number for, but
she doesn't.
She hasn't responded. We had a bunch of
I'll just give you an example of what this family's like dealing with. The lady donated $25,000 mm-hmm. for a new library. Mm-hmm. At the same time, she asked me to put bonds in my safe for her because she closed her Wells Fargo account. And after she passed away, it took me over 2 years to figure out, and this is $39,000 worth of bonds sitting in my safe. I couldn't get anybody in the family to respond to tell me what to do with them. I ended up having to trace down the attorney with help from Bill and another guy in town and finally turn them over to them. But the family, there was so much money in her trust, they don't care about that
okay.
kind of money.
Okay.
they don't. I mean, it's hard for us to think of that, but they don't care.
Wait till you screw her up.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Write them and tell them. The alternative is it's going to escheat to the state of Nevada because it's a failed gift. Mm. Okay? Now,
if
you want us to give it to the state of Nevada,
yeah.
or do you want to give it to you guys,
right?
Or should we just spend it the way we want and see
right.
what they say?
Yeah, we can.
Well, My experience on that is
no matter how much they have, a little bit more, that might just pay for a boat ride to
right,
Italy this
yeah.
summer.
So I'm just kind of curious.
So we could follow up on that, like he says, but that's all that's been done. I mean, that's the only donors there are.
As long as they don't care, I mean,
Jolene?
They're dead.
They definitely don't care.
No,
and she did want us to have a bigger library. She was hoping for a new one like we were.
Let's get back to the issue
about
how to okay this. How to approve
Just a second, because Jolena had a question
yeah.
first.
Well, actually, it's a comment.
Okay.
Going back to whether you need to have the whole membership vote on this.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
The membership put their trust into this board.
True.
And going on the responses I have not gotten on membership, you know, as far as paying your dues that are 2 or 3 years old,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you're going to get a big response, even if you do send it out to all members.
Right.
Maybe we should consider that they put the trust into this board
yeah.
and go from there.
And just make a big announcement at the annual meeting.
This
we
is
did
what we
this
did.
In
this
June,
is what we
and
did.
Look at the results.
Right.
Well, in this section 2 under funds, it
yeah.
just says that general statement
yeah.
of all records of the Friends Funds acquisition and disbursement will be in accordance with generally accepted accounting procedures,
right.
Which you guys are doing.
Which I do already.
Which are they're
so, Bill, your question, I think I got this right from you. You were concerned about not the principle of those gifts and what we're doing with those to protect them, but you want to know if it's legal for us to do something with whatever those funds earn.
Right.
No.
The dividends and the interest.
No, it's the whole ball of wax.
Oh,
you have
okay.
You understand what a constitution is?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, a constitution is an overriding document. Mm-hmm. Do we all agree on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'd all love to be able to say we don't want to live by our constitution. We want to sell marijuana despite the supremacy clause. Okay, right? But the constitution of the Friends says you have to invest in financial institutions.
This is a financial institution we're
investing
in.
Hold on a second. Just relax.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm windy, and I assure you that by the time I get to the point, it'll be worth your listening to.
Okay.
Okay. The question of it is can we go outside that what I consider is a restriction on how we utilize our money? The question is, can we go out for a long period of time in something other than, say, money markets or T-bills or something like that? I think T-bills, by the way, are correct,
right.
Because those are guaranteed by the
right.
government.
They are.
But the long story short, if you want to go out beyond, if you're not going to comply with that format in the Constitution, then the Constitution also says if you don't like what we're doing here, you put it to the membership and they vote for a change in them and they amend the Constitution to strike that. My position of it is that I believe that if you're going to go outside the constitutional constraints, that it should go to the membership and they should approve either moving it out or amending the Constitution to allow us to do that. That's all I'm saying. Okay?
So we need to check in with the Constitution, is what you're saying?
But
it's there. It's right in front of
you. Why do you believe that what we're doing is outside of what the Constitution says?
Because the Constitution says it's a financial institution.
The investment brokers are financial institutions.
No, they aren't.
Yes, they are.
Well, see, that's exactly what I'm telling you. It doesn't matter to me. I will vote no on that movement. I'm not interested in calling into play from some unknown source that something went wrong. Okay? I mentioned to you once before, I went to a broker years ago here in town,
mm-hmm.
asked him about doing that. His position was, I don't think you should invest trust monies like that in that little organization into the stock market. I said, okay. He said, I think you guys are pretty well doing it. That's not even looking at the Constitution. Okay. So my position is this. If you guys have not reached your age and you haven't learned your lesson, then all you need to do is get sued one time personally, even though it's crappy, and you don't think that it's worth a damn, and you'd love to tough it out, feel free to tough it out. But I will make a specific no position on that. That's all I'm going to tell you guys.
So,
I think there's a very simple way of doing it. That's to send out a notice to your membership, ask them to vote on it, say this is what we propose, do you object, have not. Take a reading of how many people respond, yes or no, out of 75 that responded, 25 said no, 50% said yes, amend the Constitution and go on down the road. Make your investment. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm real leery about it, because I happen to know how these goddamn dopey things come about later on when you're not expecting them. They come right out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing you're doing is you're out here talking to your insurance carrier on your board for why did you do this?
Right.
No, I'm not interested. I'm too old to be roaming around in my house at night wondering what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
Is
what you're saying pertaining to just the restricted funds or
yeah.
to all the okay?
No, just the restricted funds. But that's only the funds that you're talking about. Some kind of format where it's not CDs or treasury bills or something.
Well, most of it would, 70% of it would be that kind
what
of
I
stuff.
Just tell you, make your motion,
put it on the record, and I'll say it, fine. If something goes sideways, you'll agree to indemnify me personally from your action.
Is there any way we can find out whether Edwards Jones is considered a financial institution or not in our constitution, so that we can all feel comfortable with this decision? Because, I mean, Bill brings up a valid point. I don't want to do something if it's going to violate the constitution, right?
No, none of us want to do that, because there was more on the back side of this page, so I don't know.
Responsible for that.
It's not on this
Would
page.
Edward Jones be considered an investment brokerage?
Yes, they are.
So is a brokerage the same as a financial institution?
That's semantics, isn't it?
Yeah, well...
No, it's not.
It isn't?
No.
They are when they do all these other investments, the CDs and the money markets and the T-bills and all that stuff.
The CDs get laid off to a bank. Mm-hmm.
They're bought from a bank. They belong to Edward Jones.
The website says they lay them off to a bank. Mm-hmm. That's an insured financial institution.
Right. And the T-bills come from the government and all of that. So all of that is the same thing as banks and credit unions and all those people.
Well, that's a decision that you think you've made. I object to that.
I
don't believe
that
it exists. Okay, I think that the reason why we can do CDs with Edward Jones, because they put the money's out with a federally insured CD. Now, I don't care who holds the CD, but the CD itself is insured by the federally insured institution.
That's true, it is.
What about turning it around, Phyllis, and putting the designated funds into the CDs, the $50,000 laddered CDs, and using the other money the other way? How does that work?
To me, it doesn't grow the money, and that's the whole purpose of having designated funds for a long term, is to be able to grow it.
Okay,
but
the $50,000 that we're talking about right now is not the dedicated funds. The $50,000 that we're talking about, I think, is the ones that I want to take out of the checking account to put into CDs.
Well, we could call it that if you
want. Let's do that. Let's just call it that, and get that passed, because that's okay. I think Bill would agree with that one, that investing in CDs for whatever term, the $10,000 per ladder or whatever, is going to appease everyone and doesn't offend the Constitution. We're not in a position yet to even get rid of those dedicated funds or pull them out of U.S. Bank. Not yet. So that money's going to sit there for a while until this other thing takes off.
Well, you're going to do the current money, the overage.
Yes, that $50,000. Yeah.
Right now, you're going to do that tomorrow, is what I understood.
Yeah, the CDs.
So that's a done deal. Tomorrow, we don't even talk about it. So right now on the table is the dedicated funds.
Okay.
I think we're
premature talking about the dedicated funds.
Thank you. Next.
I think it's premature right now.
Okay, we have
there's no problem with us taking that money out of U.S. Bank to accommodate this and putting it into City National. Bingo,
that's
like
true.
That.
You can do that.
See, not a problem. And
okay.
It still remains dedicated funds, and it still is in a proper institutional bank.
That's fine.
Okay, good.
So, will somebody make a motion as to what we're doing here?
Yes, I would like to make a motion. Can I do that?
Sure.
That we take the $50,000 for Edward Jones and put it in the CDs, the ladder CDs.
No, you can't do that.
Why would not? Oh, why?
Well, you don't want to put your dedicated funds.
These are not dedicated. These are the $50,000 coming out.
Right.
She's redoing the same thing we already agreed on.
Yeah. All I'm doing is putting that into a motion. I thought that's what we're doing.
Yeah, I understand.
It's the money we've earned. It's not the dedicated
money
funds.
Right, the money that's...
Exactly, but we've already done that. We don't need to vote on that.
Oh.
We voted on that in April.
Okay.
We're voting on the others.
So we're tabling this till next week.
No. Tell me what you want to do about the $50,000 there in Edward and U.S. Bank and...
Nothing.
Dedicated funds.
Nothing.
Table it till later date.
Yeah.
Table it till next month until we find out if it's an investment.
Do we need to make a motion to contact the membership to see, I mean, or maybe you guys are just plain not interested.
I think we do, to really stay within the Constitution, because no matter what, that 70% safe, 30% risk is a risk. And
right.
So to do that without checking
with
in terms
membership.
Of the Constitution, I agree with Bill. I don't think we should.
Right.
We should do that without first not having checked with everybody.
So until we need that money in there, just leave it there until the other thing is ready to take off. At that time, all we have to do is transfer funds. It still remains dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
It still remains on the table for discussion down the road.
So you just want to table this whole thing? Is that what you're all saying? And
yes.
And contact lawyers, investment firms, and membership as to whether or not they want to do this. Is that the message that I'm getting?
Once we find out what is constitutionally okay.
Okay. Okay. Table to next month.
So was that the motion to table?
Huh?
You can make it.
Go ahead and make that motion to table.
To table. Yes, I did.
Okay.
I made that motion.
Yeah,
did anybody say
second?
Second.
All
second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, so we will do that. I will check with a lawyer. I will check with Edward Jones, and I will notify membership what we're talking about doing. As you can see, they were all very, very interested. Two of them showed up tonight after I sent that email out.
Did you send out an email?
I sent out an email last this afternoon to all
everybody in the room.
Okay, let's move on to item 12, and we'll make this as quick as we can because I know we've all got other places we'd like to be. I'm following up on topics that we talked about at the April meeting. We talked about taking advantage of Chamber of Commerce ads and hosting a mixer. The opportunity to host a mixer at the bookstore is not available until next spring. So I would like to suggest that we make Marilyn Pashek the chairman of this committee to do this and contact the chamber as soon as possible to see the earliest spring thing we can get.
Does anybody know when she went to the last chamber?
Yes.
And when the last time I talked to her, I suggested she contact you to clear talking to them about doing a mixer and finding out when the first available date in spring
right.
would be.
Yes. And we have talked, and so I want her to go ahead and make that. Are you guys okay with her being the chairman of the
chairman?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. The mixers are always on the third Wednesday of the month, and they are from 5 to 7. So if we were to host a meeting here, or you know, chamber here, we have to close probably at the 3 o'clock shift, so we got time for people to come in and bring in food and liquor and stuff. So I will tell her to contact them, pick a date, and go for it. And you must provide food and drink and at least one door prize worth at least $25. And their new rules are that you can only host one of these things once every 2 years. The update on the membership. I did not get any emails while I was on vacation about any additions or changes to the survey that we came up with and presented at the April meeting. So I worked that out so that it fits on the back side of the membership form on the newsletter. And it will be in the newsletter, in the June newsletter. I will give it to Jelena. She can mail it out with the end of the month reminders in June.
Okay, but that's only going to be for June 28 people.
That's fine. That might be 28 that we don't reach by the newsletter. Who
okay.
knows, you know? And what else was there? And we can have some of them available here in the store also. I've talked to Carrie at Data Graphics. I told her that we decided to mail the newsletter in June, and December, so she gave me the deadlines for when we have to have the newsletter in, and I have to have it into her by the 23rd, which means I need any articles from you guys by the 15th of June, so it will be all ready. We have to have, we have to pay the 6 cents per item postage fee at the time we take it over there, because they don't pay the guy who goes to the post office, so we have to give him the money for that. I'll have to see how she wants the check made out. And we have a minimum of 200, so that's 6 cents times 200 items. And Phil is working on getting the mailing list to her in the format that she needs. She's also said she would work on putting an interesting picture or something seasonable on the, remember you said make it look, so she said she'd work on that.
Phyllis,
also,
is your intent for every member to get the newsletter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have 227 members.
But that is not households. See, we would be mailing to households.
Oh, I think it is households.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought the members was like 400 and the households was 200 and something.
The members were 300 before I pulled out the 87 who had not been paying dues.
I thought I counted them up, the households up before our last meeting, and it was slightly under 200. But we can double check, and see. And so we have to pay more than 200, but we have to mail 200. They can't mail anything less, so that will be taken care of. And Kat, and my meeting with Kat, she also, I've talked to her about all of the stuff that gets picked up from social media. I said, do you know if the money we're paying Carson now to get our Facebook stuff down the side of the column is, I don't remember now how I phrased it to her.
Effective?
I said, I said, what would happen if we quit paying that $180 a month? Would he continue to pick up our Facebook stuff? She said, no, you have to pay for the spot. That's what you're paying for, is the spot. But, and she said, so go ahead and pay for that for a little while till we see if we can increase your social media stuff and all of that. But don't buy the chamber ads that are in the Sunday paper. That's too expensive. It comes once a month. There's not that many subscribers to the Nevada Appeal. She said you'll save that money and you'll make more money with your social media and your new website and that sort of thing than that would cost.
With our dues, don't we get on the calendar though? The chamber calendar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And on the calendar events and stuff like that. This was the once a month ads. They have the business thingy and all the businesses can put ads in, but the paper charges was still a good chunk of money for that ad. And she also suggested that we put something in this newsletter that we're mailing to everybody, that, you know, like a hashtag kind of thing, that if they read that in the newsletter and just come in and say it, they would get a discount or something. And only people who read the newsletter,
or bring the newsletter,
are going to know that.
Bring the newsletter in.
Or bring the newsletter in.
That would be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying, because I was trying to think of a way we could do it that wasn't going to affect cashiers having to remember some catchword or something.
If they bring the newsletter in, we would give them a discount of whatever.
Right. And she said that's how you will track if whether or not people are actually reading these newsletters that you mail out. So that was another thing that she gave me. And that is all the I do have one more. The baby literacy kits, they gave out 75 English ones last month and 2 Spanish ones. And we took the last, I believe Diane told me there was 45 kits to them beginning of this week, last week we took them, and so they will all be gone by June.
But we do have the
Spanish ones left, so I'm working out a deal with Cheryl to take them to the Moms Clinic She said, I don't know how we'll keep track of them that way. I said, if we know exactly how many we're giving you, you just let me know when those are all gone, and that'll be good. I also said something to the nurse who took delivery of the last ones. I said, well, I don't think we're going to be doing this again next year, because we've had absolutely no response to people coming in and turning their vouchers in for a library card. And she said, I wondered how you were going to track that, because we get a lot of patients here from all over Northern Nevada and Northern California. They're not all local. So that's probably why we haven't. And then Diane says, and yeah, and remember, when you have a baby and a little one, you don't get to the library for a year.
Yeah, that's true.
At least.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's closing the barn door after the horses
are. Right, yeah.
I mean, my suspicion would be that after that incident in Montana with ICE, that the new Spanish-speaking couple over here at the hospital might not want to take anything to keep from alerting suspicion.
Right, yeah.
Maybe they're illegal.
Okay. And are there any board member comments on anything we've done here? I have just one other announcement that I did not know for sure until when I wrote this. I introduced Dana Danforth as our latest member at large. She works in the back room here in the store. Very creative lady. And we'd be nice to her so she knows what we're doing here and will continue to stay with us for a while, okay? Yeah.
Not forever.
Not forever.
But for a while.
For a while.
I'm not committing to forever.
All right. No public, any public comment? All right. I'll entertain a motion for adjournment then.
Move to adjourn.
All right.
You can handle that.
All right. Meeting adjourned.
Discussion.
All of these.